Okay. All right. So hello again, everyone. We are starting our Reader's Workshop and we are focusing today on character analysis. So for the mini lesson for today, I was just explaining to you guys how it's really important for characterization and to understand and comprehend any text that you know the characters like they're your best friends. So in order to do that, you need to know the strategies and the techniques on how. So in short, character analysis, readers can use a lot of information included in the story to better understand a character. Sometimes the author will directly state a character's traits. I know a lot of you have heard me or your other English teachers mention character traits, right? That's any adjective that's used to describe a character's personality. And other times, the reader has to infer what they are. So I've said to you guys too before, but I'll mention again. So when you make an inference, when you infer, you take what you know about the world, you take what you read, and you put that together. So a very basic example of that is if you read that a character is crying, you can infer that the character is sad. Yes, there are many exceptions, but for a basic, like simplistic, example of what an inference is, it's taking what you know about the world, taking what you read and putting it together. So usually whenever we read that a character is crying, we know that the character is sad, even though the author doesn't say the character was sad and then she started crying. The author would say the character started crying, you know, and then go on with the story and you'd be like, oh, that whatever happened, that event made the character sad. So we can look at those through many different lenses, all right? And you have the actions. So what does the character do? Do they follow the rules? How does the character treat the other characters in the story? What can you infer from the character's actions, right? So if a character is explaining that she's in a place that she's never been before, she gets a weird feeling and she starts to run, right? With that action of running away, we can infer that that character is scared, right? We can infer that emotion and understanding what the character is scared of too. Dialogue. What are the words the character is saying? Does the character talk the same to all the characters? What do the words reveal about his or her personality? So as you are writing your notes, remember you're writing everything you see here from top to bottom, and then we'll kind of go through that as we read. Feelings, how does the character feel about the events and other characters in the story? And then why do you think the character feels that way? Do the feelings change? Your thoughts, what internal dialogue does the author include? What type of things does the character think about? Why does the author share this with the reader? So this goes back to point of view, which we were talking about yesterday, right? So the only thoughts and feelings that we really know for sure, for certain, are Bella's, because this book is told through her perspective. This book is her thoughts, her feelings, her reaction, and her assumptions on what other characters might be feeling or thinking, right? There was an instance yesterday where between Edward and Bella, where he, right, their first interaction was she thinks that he hates her and he like even misses school because he doesn't want to sit next to her. He doesn't want to be in a class with her. And we don't know as readers really what's going on with him, but we are experiencing that first interaction through her eyes. So all we know right now is that he's got an issue with her. We don't know what it is, but he's got an issue with her. So I will get started with the reading. I see you guys writing, so that's fantastic. And that means you can see it. Wonderful. Okay. So I will start on page 36 and continue with the story. All right. Thanks. We ate in silence for a few minutes. It wasn't uncomfortable. Neither of us was bothered by the quiet. In some ways, we were well suited for living together. So how did you like school? Have you made any friends? He asked as he was taking seconds. Well, I have a few classes with a girl named Jessica. I sit with her friends at lunch. And there's this boy, Mike, who's very friendly. Everybody seems pretty nice, with one outstanding exception. And we kind of can we know from the story that that exception she's talking about is Edward, right? Everybody's nice except for one exception. That must be Mike Newton. Nice kid, nice family. His dad owns this sporting goods store just outside of town. He makes a good living off of all the backpackers who come through there. Do you know the Cullen family? I asked hesitantly. Dr. Cullen's family. Sure. Dr. Cullen's a great man. The kids are a little different. They don't seem to fit in very well at school. Charlie surprised me by looking angry. People in this town, he muttered. Dr. Cullen is a brilliant surgeon who could probably work in any hospital in the world. Make 10 times the salary he gets here, he continued, getting louder. We're lucky to have him. Lucky that his wife wanted to live in a small town. He's an asset to the community. And all of those kids are well-behaved and polite. I had my doubts. When they first moved in with all those adopted teenagers, I thought we might have some problems with them. But they're all very mature. I haven't had one speck of trouble from any of them. That's more than I can say for the children of some folks who have lived in this town for generations. And they stick together the way a family should. Camping trips every other weekend. Just because they're newcomers, people have to talk. And this is a part where you can probably relate to the text. If you've ever been to a new school or when you start middle school, right? Feeling like an outsider or people not understanding your culture or kind of things that you do with your family, right? You can definitely relate and connect to the text with this part. It was the longest speech I'd ever heard Charlie make. He must feel strongly about whatever people were saying. I backpedaled. Also, I'm going to point out that gives us an insight a little bit more into Charlie's personality, right? If he has this compassion for this family that isn't accepted in this small town that he's grew up in, lived in for years, right? It says that he's compassionate, right? He's definitely a humanitarian. He's the chief of police or the sheriff in Forks. So we kind of are starting to know who he is. They seemed nice enough to me. I just noticed they kept to themselves. They're all very attractive, I added, trying to be more complimentary. You should see the doctor, Charlie said, laughing. It's a good thing he's happily married. A lot of the nurses at the hospital have a hard time concentrating on their work with him around. We lapsed back into silence as we finished eating. He cleared the table while I started on the dishes. He went back to the TV, and after I finished washing the dishes by hand, no dishwasher, I went upstairs unwillingly to work on my math homework. I'm sure you guys can relate to that too. I could feel a tradition in the making. That night, it was finally quiet. I fell asleep quickly, exhausted. The rest of the week was uneventful. I got used to the routine of my classes. By Friday, I was able to recognize, if not name, almost all the students at school. In gym, the kids on my team learned not to pass me the ball and to step quickly in front of me if the other team tried to take advantage of my weakness. I happily stayed out of their way. Edward Cullen didn't come back to school. Every day I watched anxiously until the rest of the Cullens entered the cafeteria without him. Then I could relax and join in the lunchtime conversation. Mostly it centered around a trip to the LaPush Ocean Park in 2 weeks that Mike was putting together. I was invited and I agreed to go, more out of politeness than desire. Beaches should be hot and dry. So those of you that decided to take on the challenge of the extension activity of researching LaPush reservation, that'll make more sense to you, understanding the climate and what the environment is like there as well. So again, you still have time to do it. You could even do it after the book. But remember, everything I post on the website, so you can go back and look at those posts to see, you know, what if you want, or if you're looking for extra work. All right, any questions so far? Yes.
In what page we are?
All right, we are on page 38, second paragraph.
38, okay.
38,
yeah, 38,
second paragraph.
Here I am, thank you.
Okay, no problem. Yes.
Miss
Maldonado.
Yes.
I read it. If we write all that, the characters.
Yes. Yeah. You want to write all of this from start to finish. Just at your own pace. And if even if you want to listen right now and then do this after, you can. It's up to you. This is all kind right. of a choose your own adventure. I do want, no matter what, though, I do want you taking these notes. But if it's better for you to just listen and follow along right now, that's fine, too. But this is going to help you later understand the characters. So, cool. Good question. Good question. All right. Cool. How you doing, Jordan? You going to say hi?
I'm good. Hi, man.
Okay, good. There you are. All right. Cool. So we are on page 38, second paragraph, and I'll continue on. All right. By Friday, I was perfectly comfortable entering my biology class, no longer worried that Edward would be there. For all I knew, he had dropped out of school. I tried not to think about him, but I couldn't totally suppress the worry that I was responsible for his continued absence, ridiculous as it seemed. My first weekend in Forks passed without incident. Charlie, unused to spending time in the usual empty house, worked most of the weekend. I cleaned the house, got ahead on my homework, and wrote my mom more bogusly cheerful email. I did drive to the library Saturday, but it was so poorly stocked that I didn't bother to get a card. I would have to make a date to visit Olympia or Seattle soon and find a good bookstore. I wondered idly what kind of gas mileage the truck got and shuddered at the thought. The rain stayed soft over the weekend, quiet, so I was able to sleep well. People greeted me in the parking lot Monday morning. I didn't know all their names, but I waved back and smiled at everyone. It was colder this morning, but happily not raining. In English, Mike took his accustomed seat by my side. We had a pop quiz on Wuthering Heights. It was straightforward, very easy. Those of you in upper grades, again, the supplemental reading, you can look up Wuthering Heights, Emily Bronte, and read that on your own if you want. Right now, I'm pretty sure you can get most books online for free from either the New York Library. I'm hoping the public library too. If you have a library card, then you can easily download ebooks. Okay. All in all, I was feeling a lot more comfortable than I had thought I would feel by this point. More comfortable than I'd ever expected to feel here. When we walked out of class, the air was full of swirling bits of white. I could hear people shouting excitedly to each other. Okay, I'm going to stop there and point out an inference. So what we know about the world, what we know about the climate, and what we know about Forks right now, that it's cold there and cloudy. When she sang that line, when we walked out of class, the air was full of swirling bits of white. I could hear people shouting excitedly to each other. What do we think has happened with the weather? Yes.
The he thinks he's very calm, neutral, but while the people is somewhere is going to happen, no?
So think about weather and when white bits fall from the sky, what does that mean?
Mm-hmm.
So with weather, right? If people get excited when something white is falling from the sky.
Snow.
Good. Yes. Snow. Good. Perfect. All right. So that's an inference. Wow. Mike said it's snowing. I looked at the little cotton fluffs that were building up along the sidewalk and swirling erratically past my face. Ew, snow. There went my good day. He looked surprised. Don't you like snow? No, that means it's too cold for rain, obviously. Besides, I thought it was supposed to come down in flakes. You know, each one unique and all that, those just look like the ends of Q-tips. Haven't you ever seen snow fall before? He asked incredulously. Sure I have, I paused on TV. Mike laughed, and then a big squishy ball of dripping snow smacked into the back of his head. We both turned to see where it came from. I had my suspicions about Eric, who was walking away, his back toward us, in the wrong direction for his next class. Mike apparently had the same notion. He bent over and began scraping together a pile of the white mush. I'll see you at lunch, okay? I kept walking as I spoke. Once people start throwing wet stuff, I go inside. He just nodded, his eyes on Eric's retreating figure. Throughout the morning, everyone chattered excitedly about the snow. Apparently, it was the first snowfall of the new year. I kept my mouth shut. Sure, it was drier than rain until it melted in your socks. I walked alertly to the cafeteria with Jessica after Spanish. Mush balls were flying everywhere. I kept a binder in my hands, ready to use it as a shield if necessary. Jessica thought I was hilarious, but something in my expression kept her from lobbing a snowball at me herself. Mike caught up to us as we walked in the door, laughing with ice melting the spikes in his hair. He and Jessica were talking animatedly about the snow fight as we got in line to buy food. I glanced toward that table in the corner out of habit, and then I froze where I stood. There were five people at the table. Jessica pulled on my arm. Hello, Bella, what do you want? I looked down, my ears were hot. I had no reason to feel self-conscious, I reminded myself. I hadn't done anything wrong. What's with Bella? Mike asked Jessica. Nothing, I answered. I'll just get a soda today. I caught up to the end of the line. Aren't you hungry? Jessica asked. Actually, I feel a little sick, I said, my eyes still on the floor. I waited for them to get their food and then followed them to the table, my eyes on my feet. I sipped my soda slowly, my stomach churning. Twice, Mike asked, with unnecessary concern how I was feeling. I told him it was nothing, but I was wondering if I should play it up and escape to the nurse's office for the next hour. Ridiculous. I shouldn't have to run away. I decided to permit myself one glance at the Cullen family's table. If he was glaring at me, I would skip biology like the coward I was. I kept my head down and glanced up under my lashes. None of them were looking this way. I lifted my head a little. They were laughing. Edward, Jasper, and Emmett all had their hair entirely saturated with melting snow. Alice and Rosalie were leaning away as Emmett shook his dripping hair toward them. They were enjoying the snowy day just like everyone else. Only they looked more like a scene from a movie than the rest of us. But aside from the laughter and playfulness, there was something different, and I couldn't quite pinpoint what that difference was. I examined Edward the most carefully. His skin was less pale. I decided flushed from the snow fight, maybe. The circles under his eyes, much less noticeable. But there was something more, I pondered, staring straight, trying to isolate the change. Bella, what are you staring at? Jessica intruded, her eyes following my stare. At that precise moment, his eyes flashed over to meet mine. I dropped my head, letting my hair fall to conceal my face. I wasn't sure, though. In the instant our eyes met, that he didn't look harsh or unfriendly, and I'd seen him. He looked merely curious again, unsatisfied in some way. Edward Cullen is staring at you, Jessica giggled in my ear. He doesn't look angry, does he? I couldn't help asking. No, she said, sounding confused by my question. Should he be? I don't think he likes me, I confided. I still felt queasy. I put my head down on my arm. The Cullens don't like anybody. Well, they don't notice anybody enough to like them, but he's still staring at you. Stop looking at him, I hissed. She snickered, but she looked away. I raised my head enough to make sure that she did contemplating violence if she resisted. Mike interrupted us then. He was planning an epic battle of the blizzard in the parking lot after school and wanted to join us. Jessica agreed enthusiastically. The way she looked at Mike left little doubt that she would be up for anything he suggested. I kept silent. I would have to hide in the gym until the parking lot cleared. For the rest of the lunch hour, I very carefully kept my eyes at my own table. I decided to honor the bargain I'd made with myself. Since he didn't look angry, I would go to biology. My stomach did frightened little flips at the thought of sitting next to him again. I didn't really want to walk to class with Mike as usual. He seemed to be a popular target for the snowball snipers. Mike kept, sorry, But when we went to the door, everyone besides me groaned in unison. It was raining, washing all traces of the snow away in clear, icy ribbons down the side of the walkway. I pulled my hood up, secretly pleased. I would be free to go straight home after gym. Watch out when you guys make changes to the document because other people can't see. Okay. All right. Once inside the classroom, I saw with relief that my table was still empty. Mr. Banner was walking around the room, distributing one microscope and a box of slides to each table. Class didn't start for a few minutes, and the room buzzed with conversation. I kept my eyes away from the door, doodling idly on the cover of my notebook. I heard very clearly when the chair moved to me, when the chair next to me moved, but my eyes stayed carefully focused on the pattern I was drawing. "Hello," said a quiet, musical voice. I looked up, stunned that he was speaking to me. He was sitting as far away from me as the desk allowed, but his chair was angled towards me. His hair was dripping wet, disheveled. Even so, he looked like he'd just finished shooting a commercial for hair gel. His dazzling face was friendly, open, a slight smile on his flawless lips, but his eyes were careful. "My name is Edward Cullen," he continued. "I didn't have a chance to introduce myself last week. You must be Bella Swan." My mind was spinning with confusion. Had I made up the whole thing? He was perfectly polite now. I had to speak. He was waiting, but I couldn't think of anything conventional to say. "How do you know my name?" I stammered. He laughs a soft, enchanting laugh. "Oh, I think everyone knows your name. The whole town's been waiting for you to arrive." I grimaced. I knew it was something like that. "No," I persisted stupidly. "I meant, why did you call me Bella?" He seemed confused. "Do you prefer Isabella?" "No, I like Bella," I said, "but I think my dad, must call me Isabella behind my back. That's what everyone here seems to know me as." I tried to explain, feeling like an utter moron. "Oh," he let it drop. I looked away awkwardly. Thankfully, Mr. Banner started class at that moment. I tried to concentrate as he explained the lab we would be doing today. The slides in the box were out of order, working as lab partners. We had to separate the slides of onion root tip cells into the phases of mitosis they represented and label them accordingly. We weren't supposed to use our books. In 20 minutes, he would be coming around to see who had it right. "Get started," he commanded. "Ladies first, partner," Edward asked. I looked up to see him smiling a crooked smile, so beautiful that I could only stare at him like an idiot. "Or I could start if you wish." The smile faded. He was obviously wondering if I was mentally competent. I'm gonna stop here for a second, and I want you guys to look at the chart. So, understanding Bella, right, and her act through her actions, through her dialogue, her feelings, and her thoughts. We went through a lot of that with what I just read. So what I want you to do right now is I want you to just think of personality traits, character traits, right, adjectives, words that describe. Describe the best you can, and this is what we'll talk about in the last 10 minutes. Describe the best you can what type of person you think Bella is. And just in one word, so descriptions, right? Is she shy? Is she popular? Well, I won't say popular. It's not an adjective, kind of. So is she shy? Is she outgoing? Do you think she's smart? Do you think she is someone that overthinks sometimes? Right, just write one word, just like four. If you can come up with four, that would be good. So, four, task. So remember, I'll update the blog with everything we went through and all of your tasks. So if you miss it, don't stress. You can go back to the website and complete everything. So your task is to write four adjectives describing Bella or character traits. Describing Bella. Okay. All right, cool. And you can, we'll get to the other things later. I'll let you guys do that. Any questions? Yes.
And Miss?
Yes.
We had the both one word in action, dialogue, feeling, and those, no?
If you want to sort it out like that, you can. That's definitely an extended version of it. But right now, all I'm asking you to do is just write four character traits or adjectives that describe who Bella is, right? If she's shy, if she's outgoing, you tell me. But yeah, if you wanted to do each category, that would be fine too. All right, so I will continue, top of page 45. All right, no, I said flushing. I'll go ahead. I was showing off just a little. I'd already done this lab, and I knew what I was looking for. It should be easy. I snapped the first slide into place under the microscope and adjusted it quickly to the 40 times objective. I studied the slide briefly. My assessment was confident, prophase. Do you mind if I look? He asked as I began to remove the slide. His hand caught mine to stop me as he asked. His fingers were ice cold, like he'd been holding them in a snowdrift before class, but that wasn't why I jerked my hand away so quickly. When he touched me, it stung my hand as if an electric current had passed through us. I'm sorry, he muttered, pulling his hand back immediately. However, he continued to reach for the microscope. I watched him, still staggered, as he examined the slide for an even shorter time than I had. Prophase, he agreed, writing it neatly in the first space on our worksheet. He swiftly switched out the first slide for the second and then glanced at it curiously. Anaphase, he murmured, writing it down as he spoke. I kept my voice indifferent. May I? He smirked and pushed the microscope to me. I looked through the eyepiece eagerly, only to be disappointed. Dang it, he was right. Slide three? I held out my hand without looking at him. He handed it to me. It seemed like he was being careful not to touch my skin again. I took the most fleeting look I could manage. Interphase. I passed him the microscope before he could ask for it. He took a swift peek and then wrote it down. I would have written it while he looked, but his clear, elegant script intimidated me. I didn't want to spoil the page with my clumsy scrawl. We were finished before anyone else was close. I could see Mike and his partner comparing two slides again and again, and another group had their book open under the table, which left me with nothing to do but try to not look at him unsuccessfully. I glanced up and he was staring at me, that same inexplicable look of frustration in his eyes. Suddenly, I identified that subtle difference in his face. Did you get contacts? I blurted out unthinkingly. He seemed puzzled by my unexpected question. No? Oh, I mumbled. I thought there was something different about your eyes. He shrugged and looked away. In fact, I was sure there was something different. I vividly remember the flat black color of his eyes the last time he glared at me. The color was striking against the background of his pale skin and his auburn hair. Today, his eyes were a completely different color, a strange ochre, darker than butterscotch, but with the same golden tone. I didn't understand that how that could be unless he was lying for some reason about the contacts. Or maybe Forks was making me crazy in the literal sense of the word. I looked down. His hands were clenched into hard fists again. Mr. Banner came to our table then to see why we weren't working. He looked over our shoulder to glance at the completed lab and then stared more intently to check the answers. So, Edward, didn't you think Isabella should get a chance with the microscope? Mr. Banner asked. Bella, Edward corrected automatically. Actually, she identified three of the five. Mr. Banner looked at me now. His expression was skeptical. Have you done this lab before? He asked. I smiled sheepishly. Not with onion root. A whitefish. Bastula. Yeah, Mr. Banner nodded. Were you an advanced placement program in Phoenix? Yes. All right, so that gives us more insight into, you know, who Bella is, and it would answer that question. Do you think she's smart? Do you think she's not? She was in an advanced program in Phoenix. Well, he said after a moment, I guess it's good you two are lab partners. He mumbled something else as he walked away after he left. I began doodling on my notebook again. It's too bad about the snow, isn't it? Edward asked. I had the feeling that he was forcing himself to make small talk with me. Paranoia swept over me again. It was like he had heard my conversation with Jessica at lunch and was trying to prove me wrong. Not really, I answered honestly. Instead of pretending to be normal like everyone else, I was still trying to dislodge the stupid feeling of suspicion and I couldn't concentrate. You don't like the cold? It wasn't a question. Or the wet. Forks must be a difficult place for you to live, he mused. You have no idea, I muttered darkly. He looked fascinated by what I said. For some reason, I couldn't imagine. His face was such a distraction that I tried not to look at it anymore. Then courteous absolutely demanded, why did you come here then? No one had asked me that, not straight out like he did, demanding. It's complicated. So remember in the first of the book when we were trying to figure out why Bella decided to move from Phoenix with her mom to Forks with her dad? This is another place where it's like, oh, we still really don't know. She said in a sentence before that she was exiling herself, but we still don't know what that means. And then she says it's complicated. So we still as readers don't understand. But through that dialogue, that moment, it gives us more insight into who she is. She is a reserved and private person. Even as readers, we don't fully know who she is yet. I think I can keep up, he pressed. I paused for a long moment and then made the mistake of meeting his gaze. His dark gold eyes confused me and I answered without thinking. My mother got remarried. Oh, here it is, I said. That doesn't sound so complex, he disagreed, but he was suddenly sympathetic. When did that happen? Last September. My voice sounded sad, even to me. And you don't like him? Edward surmised, his tone still kind. No, Phil is fine. Too young, maybe, but nice enough. Why didn't you stay with them? I couldn't fathom his interest, but he continued to stare at me with his penetrating eyes as if my dull life story was somehow vitally important. Phil travels a lot. He plays ball for a living, baseball. I half smiled. Have I heard of him? He asked, smiling in response. Probably not. He doesn't play well. Strictly minor league. He moves around a lot. And your mother sent you here so that she could travel with him? He said in an assumption again, not a question. My chin raised a fraction. No, she did not send me here. I sent myself. All right, so now we're really starting to dig into why she is saying why she moved. Let's see. All right, his eyebrows knit together. I don't understand, he admitted, and he seemed unnecessarily frustrated by that fact. I sighed. Why was I explaining this to him? He continued to stare at me with obvious curiosity. She stayed with me at first. But she missed him. It made her unhappy. So I decided it was time to spend some quality time with Charlie. My voice was glum by the time I finished. So I want to kind of, I'm going to put a post-it note there so I don't lose my place. But I want to kind of unpack that a little bit. So it's interesting. And this is what makes Bella an interesting character is that, right, we know that she's 17, maybe not turned 18 yet. She was living with her mom. We know she's more like her dad, but she's closer to her mom. And we also know that dynamic, that that relationship between she and her mom, she was more the parent than her mom was. Even though they have a good relationship and they're close, she was the more responsible one, right? Then her mom gets remarried to this younger guy that is a baseball player. He's trying to make it to the major leagues, but he's in the minor leagues right now. And so that means he's traveling around to all these different towns that have minor league teams. So she said her mom would stay in Phoenix with her, and then her new husband, Phil, would kind of go around to the different places. And so she would see that her mom would be sad when he left, even though she was, it's not that she wasn't happy staying home taking care of Bella, but she was sad to see her partner leave. So what she did was she was like, okay, it's you live your life, mom, and then I'll go stay with Charlie. So she's kind of, she's kind of always thinking about, well, not always, but in this instance, she's thinking about her mom's needs more than she's thinking about hers, because we know she hates Bork's. She hates Bork's so much that she stopped going there in the summer. And in order to, like, her dad would, they would meet up in California. So, so this is a real, what's the word I'm looking for? Sacrifice, right? So she's sacrificing her happiness for her mom's happiness. So this gives us real insight into who she is. Yes, Brian.
So the mom remarried. So
yes.
The mom remarried with one boy, Pete Talepil.
Yes, Phil.
And how she's taking that?
Wait, say that again. So her mom remarried Phil because Bella's dad and Bella's mom, they got divorced when she was younger, a long time ago, like when she was a baby. And then we don't know exactly how long Bella's mom Renee has remarried Phil. We don't know exactly when that's happened yet. I mean, we'd have to probably dig and figure that out.
Mm-hmm. And what she think of that? What Bella think of the remake? What Bella thinks of the remake?
Oh, what does Bella think of her getting remarried? Got it. So we don't really know. We know that she likes Phil. We know that she's like, oh, he's nice enough. He might be too young, but she definitely feels like an outsider in that new blended family, right? So much so that she is leaving. She's like, I'll just go live with my dad. And it's not an instance to where she's mad at her mom. I mean, maybe she is a little bit. I mean, right, we all would be. But it's more so, I think she likes that her mom is happy, and she wants to give her mom that chance of happiness with this new marriage. Does that help? Okay, all right, so I will continue on. Does anybody else have any questions? Okay, cool. I'll continue, and then in 5 minutes we'll kind of figure out who has questions, and then we'll read out your character traits. All right, but now you're unhappy, he pointed out, and I challenged. That doesn't seem fair, he shrugged, but his eyes were still intense. I laughed without humor. Hasn't anyone ever told you life isn't fair? I believe I have heard that somewhere before, he agreed dryly. So that's all, I insisted, wondering why he was still staring at me that way. His gaze became appraising. You put on a good show, he said slowly, but I'd be willing to bet that you're suffering more than you let anyone see. I grimaced at him, resisting the impulse to stick out my tongue like a 5-year-old, and looked away. Am I wrong? I tried to ignore him. I didn't think so, he murmured smugly. Why does it matter to you? I asked, irritated. I kept my eyes away, watching the teacher make his rounds. That's a very good question, he muttered, so quietly that I wondered if he was talking to himself. However, after a few seconds of silence, I decided that was the only answer I was going to get. I sighed, scowling at the blackboard. Am I annoying you? He asked. He sounded amused. I glanced at him without thinking and told the truth again. Not exactly. I'm more annoyed at myself. My face is so easy to read. My mother always calls me her open book. I frowned. On the contrary, I find you very difficult to read. Despite everything that I'd said and he'd guessed, he sounded like he meant it. You must be a good reader then, I replied. Usually, he smiled widely, flashing a set of perfect ultra white teeth. Mr. Banner called the class to order, then I turned with a relief to listen. I was in disbelief that I'd just explained my dreary life to this bizarre, beautiful boy who may or may not despise me. He'd seemed engrossed in our conversation, but now I could see from the corner of my eye that he was leaning away from me again, his hands gripping the edge of the table with unmistakable tension. I tried to appear attentive, as Mr. Banner illustrated, with transparencies on the overhead projector, what I had seen without difficulty through the microscope, but my thoughts were unimaginable. When the bell finally rang, Edward rushed as swiftly as and as gracefully from the room as he had last Monday. And like last Monday, I stared after him in amazement. Mike skipped quickly to my side and picked up my books for me. I imagined him with a wagging tail. That was awful, he groaned. They all looked exactly the same. You're lucky you had Cullen for a partner. I didn't have any trouble with it, I said, stung by his assumption. I regretted the snub instantly. I've done the lab before, though, and I had added before. He could get his feelings hurt. Cullen seemed friendly enough today, he commented. He was shrugged into our raincoats. He didn't seem pleased about it. I tried to sound indifferent. I wonder what was with him last Monday. I couldn't concentrate on Mike's chatter as we walked to gym and PE. Didn't do much to hold my attention either. Mike was on my team today. He chivalrously, that's a good vocabulary word. Covered my position as well as his own. So my wool gathering, again, good vocabulary word, was only interrupted when it was my turn to serve. My team ducked warily out of the way every time I was up. Again, that's a good moment for us to understand Bella's physicality, right? Is she athletic or is she clumsy, right? That's something else, like through actions that we can discover who this character is. The rain was just a mist as I walked to the parking lot, but I was happier when I was in the dry cab. I got the heater running, for once not caring about the mind-numbing roar of the engine. I unzipped my jacket, put the hood down, and fluffed my damp hair out so the heater could dry it on the way home. So we'll stop at page 51 today. So we're almost done with this chapter, so I'll just go ahead and read page 52. I looked around me to make sure it was clear. That's when I noticed the still white figure. Edward Cullen was leaning against the front door of the Volvo, three cars down from me, and staring intently in my direction. I swiftly looked away and threw the truck into reverse, almost hitting a rusty Toyota Corolla in my haste. Lucky for the Toyota, I stomped on the brake in time. It was just that sort of car that my truck would make scrap metal of. I took a deep breath, still looking out the other side of my car, and cautiously pulled out again with greater success. I stared straight ahead as I passed the Volvo, but from a peripheral peek, I would swear I saw him laughing. All right, so we'll stop there. We'll start at chapter 3 tomorrow, but I do, for the last 10 minutes, I want you guys to share out. So first, just tell me the four adjectives, the four character traits that you wrote down for Bella. Okay, go ahead, Brian.
Let me see.
Yeah.
Is one leader insecure or insecure?
Yeah, she's insecure. She is a little insecure. Good.
One leader antisocial because she not play with her friend I am little sick. Okay.
Yes. Good.
She's one girl normal. She do what other people do.
Yeah.
For now, nothing abnormal. I observant because she needs the expression of the face of the people who she talks.
Good. She is very observant. I like that. She is. She's very in what we call introspective, right? So exactly what you're saying, she's observing everybody's thoughts, feelings, all of that. Good. All right, cool. So anybody else? Yes, good. Dylan, go ahead. Oh no, we can't hear you again. No, I still can't hear you. Here, let me stop the screen share. Maybe that'll help. Oh, no, I heard you before. Let's see. Let's see. What did you do last time whenever it worked? Because I heard you in the beginning. Do you want to hold up your four words on the screen so we can see them? A new message. Oh, good. Anna, you wrote in the chat. Okay. Oh, yeah. Dylan, do that. Write it in the chat so we can see. Okay. I'll mute you. All right. No, I don't think it's working. So what we'll do for now, we'll figure that out. Whenever the class ends, we'll kind of work out and figure out how to work that. So put yours, write yours in the chat so that we can all see what you wrote. All right, cool. And then Anna is saying sensitive, shy, caring, responsible, smart. Good. I agree with all of those. Okay. Anybody else? We have time. Oh, shy, loner, smart, insecure. Good. She is definitely a loner. I like that you said that. And what's interesting is she's really comfortable with being by herself. And, I guess we'll dive into that more later, but you're right. She's definitely a loner. Good. All right, cool. Alexa. Yeah, she's not outgoing. You're right. She is more of an introvert. Good. Sensitive, definitely, and smart. I agree. All right, anybody else? Stubborn, yes. I'm glad you picked up on that, Anna. She is stubborn. That's actually going to be a really important trait for you to pay attention to throughout this book. All right, good. Shy, quiet, strong. She is strong. She's stubborn and she's strong. Good. I like that you guys are picking up on that. Good job. Jordan, what do you think? One word from you. You can type it or you can say it. It's up to you. But make sure you unmute yourself in the bottom left-hand corner if you decide to say it. We can wait. All right. Jordan, you're unmuted, so tell me one word. What, even if it's just something you agree with, what do you think?
I got four.
Which she, one?
Oh, she's sensitive, she's smart, mm-hmm. She's lazy, and she sounds kind of annoying to him.
She sounds, okay, good. I would disagree. I don't think she's lazy, but can you tell me more about that? Why do you think she's lazy?
I don't know where I got that from.
Okay, it's okay. Something in there, I don't know. It sparked it. It's okay. I just wanted to hear.
Oh, yeah, but she is friendly, too.
Yeah, she is. She is. Right? Just because someone's quiet and shy doesn't mean that they're mean, right? That's a good point. Very good point. Yeah. Awesome. All right. So I will. Do you have anything else to add before I mute you?
No, that's it.
Okay. All right. Good. I'm glad you shared. Brian, do you have a hermit crab? Is that? Do you have a hermit crab in your hand?
Okay. What?
No, it looked what? Like you had. Do you have a? Oh. Okay. All right. I thought you had a pet hermit crab. Okay. Let's see. Iran, anything to add? I just unmuted you. So if you want to say something, you don't want to say anything. Okay. Good. All right, good session, you guys. Does anybody have any questions on maybe the story or what's expected, your task, anything like that? Yes. Yes.
Miss, you remember what the name of that section you and me without of the link, you remember?
Yes, yeah, so don't hang up. When everybody else will have to push end meeting, but we'll stay on so you can show me what you're talking about.
Okay.
All right. Anybody else, any other questions, any other comments? Oh, good, good, Iran, smart, shy, yes, I agree. Edgar, I see you. Let's see, anything else? All right, cool. So tomorrow we will pick up with chapter 3. We'll have a new writing strategy, a new reading strategy. And remember, in about 15 minutes, I'll update that post to kind of go through what we covered today. Yes, she might. Good. Bella might have another side to her. I'm glad you picked up on that. So true. Good. Awesome. All right, guys. Well, if you don't have anything else, go ahead and click end meeting. I'm going to stay on because Brian has something to show me with regard to the online textbook. So other than that, you are free to enjoy a snack, your lunch, what have you. And I will be back tomorrow at 10 a.m.
Bye, miss.
Bye. Have a great day. Bye, Dylan. We'll figure out the audio. Okay. All right, Jordan, Alexis, see you guys later. You can click. So at the right-hand corner, it should say end meeting. So you'll have to click that. And then otherwise, you'll hear our conversation that you, I'm sure, don't want to hear. Okay, bye. All right, so it's just you and I. So show me what you're talking about.
Okay. This is, this is the link. If you, here is the link when you show me.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
When I click it, I in this page. I have that.
Yeah, click there. Yeah. And mm-hmm. Then your LAUSD sign on.
What? Hey. Before that thing asked me for 1K code. What happened?
Oh, it's because I'm here and I'm looking at it. It just needed you. So go ahead and log in. Let's walk through this.
Wait. Wait a second. Ah,